interview with Peter Kooneman, 2nd of April, 1967.
Nevertheless, he found that without the working class, without other forces, he couldn't go forward. He began to have negotiations with the editors from ourselves. To small bit, they were, you know, just about no contests and so on and so forth, newsful elections, but they were going forward, you know.
That's in 58,
isn't that? 58, certainly. Then a huge force came against him. First, to get rid of Philip, because Philip was, and the rest of his own party, his own government. Then there was no truck, because...
Wasn't that...
Because Bernardo was not prepared to give in to that. He was killed. And he was killed by forces, by those particular forces. And Uttarak, there was another leader, Uttarak. And, you know, there are other right forces also. Where are they today? Who are they? Dana, the British government. Standard Society. Jim Munati. All of them. I mean, even people. This is Bananaika's time. It's exactly the same. See, Peter Silva and others are there. But all the anti-Marxism, anti-communism, and so on, defend Bananaika's policies. Keep the people pure, and so on.
In 65, was CP alone in the cabinet? Michael Palladino?
He had some sort of reservations about the left, but I think he realized what the positions of the left were. Maybe a lot of people didn't know the left. They didn't know the left. They knew a lot of anti-communist, anti-left propaganda, but they didn't know the left itself, and they never worked with the left.
How is it that there was no contest in March 1960?
The real reason was the editor speech had a cockeyed idea that they were going to shoot the police. And they were very badly disappointed at the vote. Also, the SNP went into the election under the leadership of C.P. Desilva. It was only the last days that Mr. Bananaika came to the election to save the situation. But already the political process, the alignments had been established and finalized. And you can't change, in the course of the election, you can't change the alignments.
I think it was correct to say that Philip had his fingers burnt.
Philip was also making a bid at that time. The various people had ideas that they were going to become, you know, inherit the mentor of it as well. And the story is not such an easy thing.
Do you think this was because of 56? They had seen unexpected, an outsider sweep the, Kenta home, and they thought, well, I think 60, they could repeat the...
You will have to ask this boy if it was outsider. I can't speak to them about that. So mind you, it came just after Bananaika's murder and the exposure of the fact that the certain right-wing forces inside his own party and then it was still, there had been responsibility, and still certain the leadership was a right-wing leadership. All these factors were there, they were objective factors.
Now, in the negotiation which you achieved at the United Front, who took a leading part, who initiated the...
Which United Front?
64...
You mean the ULF?
ULF.
I don't want to be immodest, but I can say that without the Communist Party, there wouldn't have been an actual ULF. And in fact, it was admitted by the other parties too.
But didn't you have reservations about the working with Philip?
What's the good of having reservations about anything, you know, what to work with people? Well, this work with people is much as you can. We didn't know what sort of a person to person is. Well, take that into account, that's wrong with the problem.
And then what has led to...
There are 101 reasons for not doing it. All the reasons for not having unanimous. The main thing is to help one. So let's have one and then go around and see what the difficulties about keeping it going on.
But even after this LSSP had been seduced away, it is, you did cooperate with the combined government to some extent.
life is open, we are not subjective, you know, we don't know where we were spat on and therefore we were kicked back. But we did say one thing which was quite true, that even though you've got a big majority in Parliament, that without the rest of the left, you will not be strong enough to face the offensive of the right. And that proved to be true. Because after all, when they did make the onslaught, the Communist Party was not in the government, we did support the government. But it was the section of the government who went and didn't finish that government, not us. And they didn't have that strength. But if on the other hand, within the government, you had a very firm force that would have stood strong, then these people would never have dared
to cross over.
Would never have dared to provoke this matter, you know, provoke the break. And if they did provoke the break, there would have been no confusion here. In the 1965 election, the biggest damage done by Tripuna was to be confused. We gave the reaction sometimes the left country, and thereby encouraged their idea that they're a new party, a changed party, some sort of a socialist party, and so on. That is the biggest, big detail of it.
Would you explain his cooperation with the UNP as a sort of subjective reaction against the LSSP?
Who did the entire LSSP?
Who?
Friedman was an intensely subjective man. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what he does is very, very subjective situation. Exactly which subjective factor was uppermost in his mind is difficult to say. One of the things that he was totally affected by was Mrs. Bandaranaike's letter saying that she can't give him any position, and the position against him, that he was very, very angry about. You know, he felt there was some sort of slight against him.
Position now in the ministry?
Yes, I suppose that's what he meant. You know, there is no other position against him. Your really speech needed the architect.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. He makes a bitter attack on Mrs. Bandaranaike. He didn't enhance her. At the same time, he says, I'll support anything you want to say, and I have nothing to do with these fellows, with the UNP. And then he had a fight with Bandaranaike and Jai Warner called them murderers and knaves and so on. But within a few months, he's working together with the murderers and knaves.
How would you explain the fact that the UNP became a bigger single party in 65?
Well, you see, they were the real alternative to the front of SRSP and SSPCP.
Yes, but why didn't the front get more support?
Oh, why were we defeated?
Yeah.
Well, that's clear. And that's, I think the first reason was that the fund itself was not sufficiently secure. It was largely of a no-funded nature, but there were voluntary mutual support. So we had supported it as a fund in a common program, it would have been very important. Secondly, there's no doubt that many mistakes were made by the SLP government and also by the coalition government. And principally, in the field of economic management. These were very skillfully used by the UNP. I mean, specifically pointed about queues, about shortages, about increase of unemployment. Not that they had a solution, but the perfect is what they said was true.
A protest simple.
It was true. And particularly the young, the 18-year-old who worked for the first time on any big scale in a parliamentary election, with no previous experience, political experience, but with an immense practical experience that they were not getting jobs, that they thought they were going to get jobs, and therefore they thought that this one was a bad government. And so we need the other government who said that, if you put us in the power, we'll give you the job. You might even, last time they did, even the government, most of them in a school, and a small children's school, probably in the secondary school. And now, when we got the UNP, the capitalist party, and so into this party, and so on, well, they go on, they seen in that written matter, and there was a saying, we are from socialism, we are not from capitalism, and so on and so forth.
No, but the point is, I mean, the theory
of... I think Jenny is here.
I have this theory, but I wonder if it's correct in saying that how does one prove it, how does one show that the real world went to the Dharma?
Well, we show that. If you can't believe in the sense of Sangha, but you can see it. You can see who it is, that most of the, a lot of the people who are coming to their wedding,
working for them, actively participate, were this
people. Oh, I see. No, even in Kolkata now, are they...
Absolutely. There was no... You see, the increase in the vote in Kolkata was not due to a new sense at all. It was due to Colombo. Due to a lot of people forced to leave Colombo. Due to the housing shortage, going and putting up shanties in Kolkata.
And there were...
Out of 6,000 new votes, 5,000 were purely new attitude due to housing problems.
And they would automatically be anti-UNP?
Oh yes. A lot of my voters I found there. When I went around canvassing in Kolkata, I found people who in 65 were voting for me in Colombo Central, and so now because they lost their houses.
Well, that's very interesting.
What is happening in Colombo is that the working class has been gradually forced out of Colombo.
And now Colombo South has become a UNP area.
Yes. You see, the only people who can afford to live in Colombo are the middle class. And minorities also live in Colombo because they like to group together. Because they feel insecure. Whereas the Sinhalese working class find it cheaper to go out of Colombo to commute into Colombo to work. That's why you find that the percentage of minorities in Colombo is going up. And that's of course not the reason why they lost, because sometimes, you know, in a number of areas, the minority vote tips the balance one way or another. And here, religious and racial minorities voted solidly down the line for UNPs. That's right. Solidly.
And this time in Kolkata?
There are very few minorities. Mm-hmm. You know, in a number of seats where the minority problem, either religious or racial, was involved, that vote tipped the balance. The actual difference is only 100,000 votes, nothing very small.
So don't you think that unless some government achieves a miracle, at each of the election, the new youth vote is likely to be anti-government?
Yes, of course. Except that if the government works well, then it will maintain the loyalty of the youth. No, we are a young country. Do you know that 50% of the people of Ceylon are under 21 years old? Our population in 1945 was some 6 million. Now we're getting on the curve.
I was wondering, in view of your analysis of the 65 DP, whether you view this period in opposition as a blessing in disguise, in the sense that it has brought you closer together.
So that's one positive achievement, but we'd rather come closer together in government rather than not. Never a blessing to be in opposition.
No, but isn't it easier to be together in opposition than...
Yes, it is. It's worth when you know that you have a picture.
I'm sort of going back to the general aspect of your policy. Now, I presume you were interested in unions among the plantation workers.
Still are.
Mm-hmm. But most of them haven't got votes.
Oh, we don't run unions only for getting votes.
No, but...
The union is one of the principal...
Right. But would it be correct to say that the Indian Congress have a great support?
Yes. They're not Indian, I mean it's Donovan.
Yes.
But he has great support than anybody else in the matter. Unfortunately, for the plantation workers, but that's true.
Is he one of the, not really a worker, but a Sangani, and therefore...
He's not a Sangani, he rose out of the Sangani system, but he's the governor of the state. He's very shrewd, able to go for the system. Very shrewd, very able.
So don't the water, I mean the plantation workers, presumably voting because of the communal issue rather than because they think on class rank?
The inspector is only under a letter class subject. He's only intended on for the education of our citizenship because he has not got citizenship for it. But I can't remember when Tonaman last did a strike. Oh, he made a strike. Small strike, yes. Number. But on a major question like wages or something, I don't remember
Tonaman
for years. And when
there was a strike
last year, on the 17th
of March, Tonaman was. Really, Nehru was responsible for this communal aspect, maybe in somewhere in 1940 he's supposed to advise them to form their own sort of group rather than join the leftist
group. I don't know whether Nehru, I've heard the story, but I don't know if it's correct that Nehru if he did, it was wrong advice.
Yes, it doesn't square with his reputed socialism, I mean, you know.
I'm not sure that it wasn't valid for Bhattacharya to get it, but it's not standard.
Did he come across?
Oh, yes, he came here. And it was in that period that you refer to the fever to not the neighbor. I don't think it was near as well. I don't know. But
support which the SLFP gets now, I mean, it is known for instance that certain very capitalistic interests also supported the SLFP.
Yes, quite
the
SLFP is essentially a national bourgeois party.
How would you define national bourgeois?
A bourgeois being that, you know, that its roots are national, it is not linked up with foreign capital, and whose method of expression is at its principle for itself.
Is it because, as used originally by the Vienna Marxists, the term meant a group?
They mean the bourgeoisie of the country.
Yeah.
You know, but we use it, make it a thing between national and comprador in the sense that they're not. So very often, national bourgeoisie is connected with manufacturing and industry. It's a purely complicated idea. But it really means it doesn't work for us that there are two sections of all the bourgeoisie in a colonial country. One, that is a part that lives on the initiative of communicating to, that tries to get whatever it can out of it. But essentially, it depends on them. Then there's the other which has no way of going forward, except to create its own independent industrial development. And actually, you see, the interest. Yeah, it is in the school, in that way, then that's like both want independence, both want foreign fetters. Then of course there's a clash also, because once they get independence, they want a capitalist development, we want a non-capitalist, socialist development. And of course that problem has to be worked out. Of course that is a problem, but now you see in all the African and Asian countries, which way shall we go? Are we going on the old capitalist development, like Western Europe? So painful, horrible development. Or even have a non-capitalist development. And you find it all these countries in Ghana and the ministers and here everywhere. It's not that. Why is it that they don't want this man and I to ally with the Marxists? Because they feel that means that the development will be.
Don't you think that the SLFP has a strong fascist tendency too?
No, I don't think any fascist tendency too.
I'll say, January 1958.
Fascism is really the philosophy of the big monopoly bourgeoisie. If you racialism, it's not necessarily fascist. It's a thing that is somewhere to fascism. There are certain people who have racial tendencies. They always tell bourgeoisie who are more racist than them. Fascism is a question, is the open dictatorial rule of the biggest bourgeoisie. And the celebrity are not the biggest bourgeoisie, nor are they. Is their rule open and dictatorial? It is true, Dhamma, they have. But it is.
And, I mean, hasn't the SNSP also been plagued by lack of able leaders? I mean, the people who haven't turned up people who can be...
The main base is the middle class. There is the, generally speaking,
intelligence, product of the free
education, and the small merchant, the school teacher, the village intelligence, rural intelligence, the rural business, the generation. And naturally, even as a class, they can consolidate themselves. They have the opportunity of administrative and legal and professional experience of that class. And though many of them are quite able, they are a little nervous, unsure of themselves.
Lack of assurance.
So many new class coming up to rule, he doesn't have assurance. Class that has been ruling for a long time, he never heard of himself. Even it's no longer really the ruling class. Even in Britain, the ruling class is talking that they rule the world, but they don't. Because they rule the world so long, but they haven't, whatever the time gone away around, it's like that they aren't ruling the world, they don't rule it anymore.
And would you subscribe to the view that even now the UNP have got many channels, I mean, and a Catholic action behind them?
Catholic has been quite recently, Catholic, yes.
No, but people also say that these people will sell Ceylon to the Tamils and to the Catholics.
They sell Ceylon. It's one of the derivations of Ceylon called it. We are supposed to sell Ceylon to Moscow and so on. What they really mean is that you work in such a way that that probably benefits. That's what they mean when they say sell Ceylon.
Yes, that's
what I mean that the demands made by the Catholic Church are likely to be given by this government.
Yes, but when a petty bourgeois Sinhalese makes this statement, I agree that it's exaggerated, but he means that the Sinhalese language will suffer and that the Sinhalese will get a second place, which is inconceivable.
Not, it's not inconceivable. I mean, I've got Sinhalese language, we have a second place.
To English, no, but the...
We have a second place. Now, for all, if you look at the demands of the Federal Party and the Democrats, what they are really fighting for is the English. It's like the BFP in South India, when ships are down, it's English that they want, not that.
No, but I mean, I have heard some of these people speak, and even giving allowance for exaggeration, the tendency to argue that with the UNP they will the Sinhalese race will suffer in various ways. Whereas the UNP themselves are Sinhalese, and most of them are the leaders, are Sinhalese Buddhists.
Well, a lot of Sinhalese Buddhists betray the Sinhalese people to the British.
To the British? When?
And during the British period, the British period of the day. Ahala Pola, for the Sinhalese, for the Buddhists, we were also leading the Buddhists. In fact, if you belong to the race, that means that you are always loyal to
it. And do you think that, for instance, if the UNP gets stronger, the British will get a foothold, Trincomalee and things like that again?
I don't think they want Trincomalee anymore. But they certainly get a foothold as far as neo-colonialist territory with new investments and things like that. I don't know that Trincomalee is so important anymore.
In fact, would you subscribe to the view that the Colombo Plan is a way in which the Western economies have, Western nations have penetrated our economy?
Well, that's the intention of the Colombo Plan.
Pardon?
That's the intention of the Colombo Plan. Only saving thing is that they have spent as much money as we pay, they would spend.
They haven't?
They haven't because they didn't have, I think they still have any big benefit. Of all the Colombo Plan, maybe only Australia has got any money to invest. Britain, of course, would probably like to borrow some money from us.
But then the Colombo Plan originated with Jayawardena.
It was the original idea was some form of maintaining the position of British capital in the Commonwealth area, maintaining the Commonwealth economic preserve of British capital. They succeeded to such extent. They kept it going. They're off the
economically,
and also to protect it against stronger forces like America. And certainly in Sri Lanka, for instance, in 20 years, the government will not have that it's not true.
But isn't the Commonwealth more reliable now than I said to British? You know, even India hasn't left it. Surely the reason is because it has some advantage.
Britain is not able to get rid of it, but that's really what we have done. She's got pretty good investments, and I think she's making them all over. Or there's some problems like this. Reverse, immigration, reverse, over in the country. There's really a problem with the government. There's some problems there. But now they're really up to the position where they've got to choose between whether we're going with Europe or whether we're going with the Commonwealth, or whether we're going to cut it east of Suez and hold it west of Suez. You know, all the dilemmas of people are about to die, how to spend your last days.
A general question on the trade unions. I mean, since you've taken a line of support in the workers and a militant line, and presumably...
You don't support the workers, you organize
them. Yes, we support them in their grievances, shall I say.
Well, we don't consider ourselves as, I mean, I myself personally,
we don't consider
movement or party or something different,
we don't consider part of the
world.
But with competition also, I mean, since the Samasabha also claimed the same thing, wasn't there a tendency to utilize strikes and others, I mean, throughout the career, in order to build up working class support?
No, I don't think. There's been an odd factory there, but there's been no major struggle that has ever left under the Gandhi workers.
Now, I think at the hard trial, was it?
All of you.
Yes, but did you, I mean, you were against the principle, but wasn't it also a means of bringing the UNP into unpopularity and raising your popularity? Mm-hmm. But don't you think that this sort of picture has been taken to the world too often? That it wasn't...
Really ridiculous, huh? Then we take the road. And now I'm afraid I have to stop it because of everything.
I'll just